Hello, everyone, and welcome to Geek Tyrant Weekly, episode number 73. Today, we're going to, first of all, introduce the panel. We're obviously going to talk a lot about the Lost series finale that aired last night. And we're going to also brush over MacGruber really quickly, just give some brief thoughts about that. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and introduce all of the panel. I am Ben P.
This is Mazer.
Mealy Kane.
Lola.
Johnny White Shoes.
P. Vader.
Got a lot of people here with us, and our illustrious host, Dr. Venkman, will be joining us shortly for the Lost talk. But in the meantime, let's go over the box office numbers for the weekend. Coming into the number one spot is Shrek Forever After, or Shrek the Final Chapter, or Shrek It's Not Ogre Till It's Ogre, or whatever other nonsensical phrase that you'll see on billboards around town. This film made $70.8 million. Kind of surprising, considering there doesn't seem to be a lot of desire to see another Shrek film, at least from people our age, but it's a kid's movie, so...
When I went to the theater, people were genuinely excited about watching Shrek. And I was going and walking around, and they were like, oh, look, Shrek, oh, we could watch the 2:30 or the 4, and they were actually discussing watching Shrek, and I was, you know, about to go into MacGruber, and I was like... What is going on?
Some sort of alternate universe. I flashed sideways or something, maybe. But anyway.
And does anyone think this is really the last one? That's what they said about this last the previous one.
Well, they say it's the last one, but I'll be honest. When I was working at PDI, they said they were going to do a fifth. And I'm not kidding. Like, they had storyboards already for some of that stuff. So I don't know if they dumped the idea or not. I don't know. But...
I think they're probably looking to see if it'll break a certain, like, box office number.
I think it's
number.
The last one until Mike Myers needs another paycheck.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably true. Coming in at the number two spot is Iron Man 2 with $26.3 million. We talked about this two episodes ago? One episode? Anyway.
Iron Mania?
Yeah, Iron Mania. Check it out. It's actually probably one of the better ones we've done in a while. We got super in-depth, and that podcast ran like an hour and a half or something, but check it out. Number three is Robin Hood. Of course, this is what we talked about last week. The $18.7 million at the box office this weekend.
Now, a couple weeks ago, we had that podcast, but we had two reviews from Johnny White Shoes and from Lola. And if you guys want to just spend like a minute just describing your feelings, because we didn't get your input on that.
Yeah, about Robin Hood.
What's your input on Robin Hood?
Do you want to go first?
I'll say. I liked it at first. After thinking about it, though, I didn't like it terribly as much as I liked it right after the initial watching of it. So it comes down to, exciting at the beginning, not so exciting after you think about how many... terrible things there are in the movie itself, and how deceiving the trailer is after I watched it over again, because they actually bring it up into Nottingham right away and say, this guy's gonna be a bandit, and you're like, that's the very end of the movie they show in the trailer, so it's a little deceiving. But...
Lola, what'd you think?
I just wish that they, like I said in my review, went more into the fun, you know, Little John, the Merry Men aspect of it, and not so much focus on the political aspect of it. Maybe.
Yeah. I think
that
everyone...
That goes around with qualms, I guess.
It seemed like the director you wanted, the actors you wanted, and originally when the project was launched, the script you wanted, where it's the point of view of the sheriff.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Unfortunately, it was not to be. Number four at the box office this week was Letters to Juliet, pulling in $9 million, which is half of the number three spot. Not much to say about that. I think we can kind of breeze over that one.
I haven't seen it, so whatever.
Yeah, I don't.
I haven't seen it, but I cannot lie. I want to, even though the trailer tells the entire story of the movie.
It's Dear John 2, isn't it? Right?
Yeah, and then Grandma ends up with the most interesting man in the world at the end, right? He rides up on a horse.
I think the focus isn't the grandma. I think she ends up with him kind of sooner than you'd think, and then. And then it's about the young folks.
Traditional teenage love story.
Yes. Okay. That's my assumption.
Boy meets girl. Girl is already engaged, about to be married. boy
girl
breaks up.
Becomes friends with your grandma and helps her find the love of her life, and then you fall in love with the girl, and then you have to break up.
That's happened at least three times.
Amanda Seyfried.
I don't know about you guys.
I can't watch any movie with her.
It's
without
that tried and true story.
I adore her.
Yeah, Mamma Mia. Love it.
Veronica Mars.
That was good.
Mars,
that
was
good.
Okay,
she was amazing as Lily Payne.
So moving on, rounding out the top five, we have Just Right, which pulled in $4.2 million. This is the basketball film starring Queen Latifah and Common.
Oh, yeah.
We kind of talked about it last week, just, you know, pointing out that this film, hey, it actually exists, because I've still never seen a trailer for it. And I guess leading into our mini review of the week is MacGruber at the number 6 spot. I'm not going to go through the rest of the top 10, but MacGruber pulled in a paltry $4 million at the box office, which I can't tell you guys how many headlines I saw this week about MacGruber bombed at the box office. Ha ha, get it? Because MacGruber defuses bombs? And I was like, that is so terrible. But Mazur, I believe you saw MacGruber.
I think I'm the only one here, so if you guys want to throw some questions my way.
Loaded up.
He's the world's deadliest villain.
Let me press you.
Sorry.
He's ruthless.
No, speak Russian.
Yep.
And brilliant.
Straight flush.
Damn it!
I'm going to turn Washington, D.C. into a pile of ash.
He's known only as Dieter. And until now, he's been unstoppable. What the world needs is a hero who's so top secret, we don't even know his full name.
Hello, MacGruber.
Don't worry, this is just like Nicaragua.
I got shot in Nicaragua.
This is nothing like Nicaragua.
For my biggest thing in this film is people talk about, oh, it's got crude humor, so it's got to be hilarious. No, it's not. It's not The Hangover. It's not, you know, like a South Park episode. It's actually, I was bored at a few moments of it. And I mean, I've got to respect that they took a skit that was probably 20 to 30 seconds and actually made a whole film about it. But they start off the film with MacGruber being, like, having been hidden away for 10 years, and they have a ton of 90s references. But he wasn't 10 years ago, the year 2000? Am I missing something? So, yeah, I would not recommend this film, but does anyone have any questions?
I'm just curious as to why you respect them making a movie out of a 20-minute or 20-second sketch when the movie wasn't good and there wasn't really enough story or action to...
I was surprised that they were actually able to extend the character of MacGruber over... It's like an hour and a half.
Who's the bad guy? I mean, I don't get it.
Val Kilmer.
Okay, yeah.
How
is
he,
I mean,
though?
That's what I'm saying.
Val Kilmer was...
What's his character? I don't get it. Because there is no bad guy in the skits.
There is no bad guy.
And some
but who put that bomb there?
Okay, so we're
bad guy.
So we're doing that. Okay.
That's funny. I like that.
No, but
we're doing that. Yes.
Yeah, it just I've got to say it. I can't recommend a comedy where I got bored. That's the biggest part. And there's a few parts where I did chuckle, and there are a few weird moments, like a dude with doing a dance naked with celery coming out of his butt. But besides that.
What?
Most of the film was really weird and not funny.
Besides that...
that sounds weird and not funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, don't watch that film.
All right. Well, a rousing recommendation, then, from Mazur on that front. Okay, and joining us now is our illustrious leader, Dr. Venkman. Welcome to the podcast, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on your podcast.
having you on your own podcast, yes, brilliant. Well, welcome regardless, and I guess let's go ahead and get into the Lost talk, everybody. I guess
Wait, it should Lost?
Oh, yeah, you better believe it. The end has come, literally, since the episode was called The End.
Wait, so that's over?
Oh, it's all done, man.
Wait, you mean we're not going to get, like, anything else? That's it?
I don't think so. I know there's a Lost movie slated for 2014, but...
All right.
No, I'm
so
joking.
There we go.
I'm obviously joking. Okay, so I guess it goes without saying that we're going to throw up a huge spoiler warning right now. Because there's no way that we can talk about the show without spoiling
what happened.
I'm going to
say, if you have been watching Lost and you haven't seen it by the time this podcast's come out, you are not a Lost fan.
Yeah.
The show's there,
agreed.
It's not a spoiler.
Yeah. Unless you're, like, in... Afghanistan fighting for your country or something.
I'm pretty
and
sure
it's
they,
like,
call the time out.
Yeah.
yeah. many like bombings or shootings in Afghanistan.
The entire world comes to a close to watch the last finale. Okay.
Watch the finale, and now they're just like shooting each other over what exactly the end meant.
What the end means. Lost starting wars the world over. Okay, so let's actually get into what we think the finale actually means, like what it all means. I know that's what everybody's been talking about ever since the finale aired last night, so I guess the way that we'll do this is I'll just kind of run down what my friends and I thought about it while we were, you know, right after we watched it last night, and then you guys can chime in with your thoughts, whether you agree or disagree, that kind of thing. So here we go. I've been reading a lot of stuff today about the finale saying that the entire thing, that they were dead the whole time, and I, that's not right. I'm sorry to be, like, whatever, like, definitive about that, but it's just not right. So, basically what happened is everything that happened on the island actually happened. Like, that's the quote-unquote real world. Everything that happened in the Flash Sideways in Season 6 was actually some sort of purgatory, if you want to call it that. It's, as Maza refers to it, is a, what did you call it earlier?
The afterlife waiting room.
Afterlife waiting room, I like that.
You're not dead, it's not, you haven't moved on yet, you're not a ghost, you're not any, you're just kind of waiting for someone to come and
you're
you
like,
can go
wait,
through together.
So what am I gonna, what am I doing here? Because they don't know that they're dead, you know?
Not in the beginning, yeah, not until
Yeah, they're just kind of living their life as if that's what was going on.
Yeah, so it's kind of a, essentially, none of that really happened in the kind of quote-unquote real world that we know. You know, Sawyer was never a cop, like, blah, 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 all that stuff. And then Desmond, you know, through the help of Charlie, kind of triggered the memories of the quote-unquote real timeline, and everybody kind of met up at the church, you know, waiting for their ultimate deaths, and then just moved on together as a group. So that's kind of a really brief, you know, brush over of what happened. Do you guys agree with that or no?
Agreed.
Agreed. Yeah. I think it's important to note that the Flash Sideways also weren't occurring in an alternate reality in 2004 that somehow, like, intersects with the reality of the 2006.
Yeah, like, time didn't matter
on
there.
This planet.
Right.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
I tend to, yeah, I think that's right. So what did you guys, so with that being said, now that, you know, we're all kind of in agreement that that actually happened, what do you guys think about the finale? Do you think it was, like, an effective ending to the series, or are you disappointed that not more answers were provided?
Well, real quick, why don't we go through and, I guess, because I haven't really talked to any of you guys about the finale yet. So, you know, I loved it. I thought it was a perfect ending to the show. I thought it was a beautiful ending. I really liked it. So, but what, like, I guess in just like a short sentence, what did you guys all, did you like it? Did you hate it? I guess.
I liked it. I was pretty happy with it. And I was trying to think of how could you even end the show in a better way? Because I think sometimes attacking material without an idea or a solution is just lazy. So I would say I very much enjoyed this ending.
I liked it. I found it very emotionally satisfying. I can see, I've been reading some of the problems that some other people have had with it, and I can see their point. And just as a counterpoint to what Mazur said, I think the response to the, I mean, is, well, the writers should have come up with a better thing because it was their story and they sold us out in not having the answer to every single question. Who built the statue? And so I don't have those concerns, but I kind of understand them from other people. But I cried from the moment that Jack, like,
I was just going to ask, did you cry?
I did. I cried.
That's all right. I mean, I got choked up.
I cried, and
it was an emotional episode. It really was.
Yeah, and I think the ending was really, like, satisfying as a fan to see those relationships continuing and everyone being happy for one time on the entire show.
I think the part that hit me the hardest was when Charlie and Claire connected.
Oh yeah,
that was a pretty powerful part for me.
Yeah, Lola, what'd you think?
I'm one of the few here that doesn't really agree with you guys.
It's all right. We need opposition.
Yeah. I wasn't satisfied completely with the ending. I felt that the show circled around an island, and it wasn't really addressed as to why it was there. Season 6 was Man in Black and Jacob, and that wasn't really addressed. Why even bring them up then? If they're just going to end it the way they did in the end. Go ahead, everybody.
I guess we'll try to answer those questions kind of when we get through everybody's kind of initial thoughts of it.
Those are my only qualms. Again, I am one of those people that wasn't satisfied because they didn't answer those questions for me. I'm one of those that was like, hey, what was said earlier on someone's Twitter about, you know, you want this, and this, and you want these answers, and I wasn't satisfied yet with what they gave us, so.
Yeah, okay, I'll just call it, I tweeted 3 things about Lost. I don't know, other people, like them. Ben, happen to write whole posts, and I have limited time during the day, so I wrote 3 tweets. And the first tweet is basically something that the producers actually had said in the Lost, like, was it Revisited or Finale?
The recap pre-show beforehand, yeah.
And said, the mystery of Lost was the people. And they were trying to explore these characters. So my tweet was exactly, do you know these characters, or were you distracted by the mystery of the island? And then my second tweet was, people with unanswered questions may have, as children, asked why to every answer ever given them. And then my final tweet was, the Force in Star Wars, it's basically midichlorian, which is microorganisms, which is a lame explanation for the Force. And I said, sometimes it's better if the mystery is not explained. So,
and I agree with that. I like that. But at the same time, I think a lot of stuff throughout, you know, this last season was explained. You know, I think that Jacob and the man in black, that they, you know, that they showed their purpose on the island, and you know, once that purpose was fulfilled, it obviously, like with Jacob passing down the torch to Jack, and then Jack passing it down to Hurley, it's just,
yeah. I think let's get into that in just a minute. Let's finish going through the circle,
sure,
sure, and make sure that everybody kind of gets in their brief little thoughts, and then we can actually delve a little bit more into that kind of thing. So, Johnny Weishes, what did you think?
I'm right with Joey and with everyone else except Lola, because it was an
amazing. Dude, Johnny Weishes is with us.
He is.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
There it is. Yeah. Johnny. Hey.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, this was freaking amazing. It was absolutely an emotional high for me. I sat there listening to it, watching it with a group of people who, you know, were crying, and I was just sitting there like, oh, this is a great ending. And I watched it at least 10 times when I got home, you know. I won't lie.
No,
it's a little freakish, but yeah, I did. I did. And it was amazing, you know. The ending, that is, the ending I watched a lot, so... I was happy with it, you know? It was great. As soon as that eye closed, I was like, yeah, that's the way it's going to be.
Okay, so we've got an interesting case with us. P. Vader has only seen, maybe a total of 8 episodes of Lost, and all of them have come within this final season, so he hasn't caught up or anything.
You
know,
so did you find the ending satisfying?
This is probably, a lot of people probably watched Lost and then fell off the wagon at some point and just come back and are completely confused.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I was going to qualify all my explanations with, like, yeah, I know, I've only watched the last 7 episodes, but just give me a break. That being said, I was with Ben when, like, and what Mazur just said, I don't know what's going on, but by the end, like, I was caring about these characters, and I felt, like, emotional about it, even though I'd missed essentially, like, 90% of the entire series. I still felt the emotion, and I still, like, cared, and I was still satisfied with how they ended it.
You were just like, who's that chick Saeed's making out with?
Yeah, pretty much. That was the only, like, things I had. I was like, who's that? That's about it. But other than that, yeah, I was totally satisfied. That being said, I also missed 90% of it, in which... I like the island wasn't like an obsession for me. Like I've heard, you know, people mention like the show's about the island, as Lola mentioned earlier. And so it wasn't as, like, a central point to me as the characters were. I felt like the characters were the most important part of it.
Yeah. You said a lot of stuff that I want to come back to in just a second. So, just for me, it took me a little bit, honestly, before I could kind of say definitively one way or the other what I thought about it, because I love the show, and it's been my favorite show ever since I started watching it, but I didn't want to give it a free pass on the finale just because it was another episode of Lost. You know, I really did want to kind of sit there and work through it and make sure that things made sense to me before I was like, yep, loved it, whatever. Like, I just didn't want to be one of those people.
I get it.
So, you know, and that being said, I took some time and actually, like, thought about it, and like, I'm sure all of us did, and ultimately came to the conclusion that I thought it was going to come to, which was that I loved it, and it was great, and you know, I'm kind of on the opposite side of the fence as Lola, where the island doesn't matter to me. It's all about the characters. It's always been about the characters, and, you know, that kind of thing is interesting in what P. Vader just said, where he hasn't seen a lot of the stuff, a lot of the mysteries of the island, and it's interesting that season 6 has always been intended to be like kind of a mirror of season 1, as far as going back to the characters being, you know, very central to the show, you know, almost mirroring it like episode for episode in some cases. So it's interesting to me that he relates more with the characters than he does with the island, you know, considering the structure, you know what I mean? Like, because of that mirror structure, like, it's almost as if he did start watching in the beginning, because the beginning is so much like the end. That's kind of a ridiculous way to phrase it, but yeah, I loved it. So, let's get into some of the specifics. Dr. Venkman, do you care to kind of address some of the things that Lola was talking about earlier? That I kind of interrupted you earlier. You seem
to
be...
Oh, that stuff. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that
yeah,
old
now
stuff.
I lost my train of thought on
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
I was on a roll.
Figured that might happen. Sorry about that. Mazer, go ahead.
For me, I enjoy these types. I enjoy a good mystery. And I was just thinking back to J.J. Abrams, who was he was pretty involved in the beginning process of Lost. And I don't know if you guys have seen his TED Talk on the Mystery Box.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool talk. And he ordered this. He was really into magic. And he has basically this box with magic tricks, but he has never opened it in probably, what, 30 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
He has no idea what's in the box. For him, he enjoys not knowing what's in the box. For him, the mystery box is this kind of thing to keep you wondering, to keep your imagination, like, sharp and stuff like that. And when he would explain Lost is a mystery box within a mystery box within a mystery box. And I think when we start to try to dig into mythology of anything, we start to run out of answers. It's like, okay, let's go into Greek mythology. Let's go, okay, we've got Zeus, and Zeus created this and that. And where did Zeus come from? Oh, his parents, Cronus, etc. Where did that come from? And you hit a ceiling where it's just, okay. And I think we already have that on Lost. We had the Dharma Initiative, which was this huge blanket cloud of questions.
Yeah,
and I think
but
they
all those
answered
questions
all
the
questions about the Dharma
Initiative.
And what did we get to? We got to Jacob, and we got to the smoke monster, which is, I think, in all mythologies, there's some kind of ceiling. And I think we hit that ceiling, and that's where it ended. So,
I agree.
I think, to say something, I think when you talk about mystery, you're talking about, like, the unknowable and just this thing that sparks your imagination, but you can't really define it or describe it. You're never going to find out really exactly what it is. And I think a lot of other people, when they think about the mystery of Lost, they're thinking more about the narrative structure of a mystery story, where there's, like, a logical sequence of things and clues, and they all lead and to this perfectly plotted answer. And so I think that that's two different ways of looking at, like, Lost is a mystery, and you think of it as the unknowable, and other people are like, no, there should be this answer at the end. It should be exactly clear everything. And I think
I'm just thinking, it's like, okay, we have a statue with three toes. Okay, they're aliens. Or they're gods. Okay, where did the gods come from? They came from another planet. Well, what is this other... And you just run into more and more and more questions.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, I think that is the difference between people who are like, okay, I got enough answer.
Yeah.
To, like, have the things explained, and then I focus on these characters, and it's fine. Versus the people who are like, no, there should be a precise answer.
Yeah.
The mythology of Lost could go on forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, and there are,
they could make countless Lost episodes talking about the history of the island and all that stuff. But like you said, Mazur, in the beginning, that this show, I mean, yeah, it started off on the island, and the island was a huge, part of the TV series, and at the same time, it was a character. It was a character piece. I mean, this show revolved around these characters and how they progressed, what they've learned, and how they changed on their experiences on this island.
I just feel like if you're gonna begin a show and center it around an island, give us something. Where is this light? What is this mysterious plug that they had to use? Where do they come from? You can't just throw that in the mix and not explain to us, what was Desmond's role in all this? Why did it have to be Desmond? Go ahead.
You know, I have a theory about the light thing, and this is just coming from
everything. I love the theories. I love the light.
This is my theory, because you look at the after thing, the beginning of the season, the island's at the bottom of the sea in the sideways.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the island still exists in the real world.
Mm.
So if you think about it, the crazy mom says that the light exists in every man, every person.
Yes,
and
exactly.
So, but in the sideways, which if we were to explain it as some sort of afterlife or purgatory, there's no need for the island at that point because everyone's dead already.
Right.
So that light doesn't exist in that alternate area because it just doesn't need to. So if you look at the island, the light as life,
mm-hmm.
then you can extinguish it in the sideways because you don't need it.
Yeah, or even something like my reading of it was kind of like the plug or whatever that Desmond kind of removes and the light and everything. I read that as kind of the island holds the answer, holds the only way for everyone to quote unquote get to heaven or whatever the kind of final afterlife that you would believe in, when you remove that plug, that opportunity for everyone is gone, because there's always been talk about the world is going to end, the world as we know it is going to end if this happens, if Desmond doesn't turn this key, if the smoke monster gets his way, if this kind of stuff. So there's very clearly like global ramifications with this light. And then so Desmond, the only reason Desmond's involved is because of his unique ability to kind of withstand electromagnetism, which is essentially kind of what the light is quote-unquote made out of, I think. But Jack obviously sacrificing himself at the end and allowing Desmond to get back to Penny, to like live on his life was just the way that they kind of stop that plug again. Jacob in one of the episodes earlier, Jacob made that analogy of the wine glass, with the cork, and the island is the cork to this evil.
And then there was
being
an actual
released.
Literal cork.
Right.
Right there.
Yeah. It doesn't get much clearer than that.
Yeah, exactly. But what's funny is I don't know, call me crazy. I never questioned the plug. You know what I mean? I accepted it as, well, yeah, of course the island has a plug.
No, I can't. I did
you
too.
Know?
I know
and
exactly
I was
going to
like,
about.
That makes sense.
And it
the
has
island
cool
would have a plug.
On it.
I don't
oh,
know.
Yeah. It matches the sloth thing.
Just to bring up a question I've seen out there that some of the nitpickers who are very dissatisfied, how come Jack didn't turn into the smoke monster when
see,
he was in the
I
light.
I thought that too. I don't know.
And,
oh, look at you guys. Oh.
And I think that kind of the obvious answer is he was like Jacob and the man in black wasn't.
I think the reason for that is because Jacob essentially created the man in black by kind of killing him and throwing him down in there. Like, Jack made that choice to sacrifice for his friends and stuff, and the man in black didn't want that responsibility. He never wanted to do that, and he was kind of fighting Jacob there at the end when he in that episode Across the Sea a couple episodes back where he like threw him down into there and then he kind of emerged as a smoke monster. So I think it's probably just a matter of like it being a cognitive like a choice on Jack's part to actually sacrifice himself instead of being forced into it like the man in black was.
Well, even if you want to go even further, when the man in black fell into the light,
mm-hmm.
right? One thing that popped in my mind, because once they got down there, they kind of had to hike over to the...
they had rocks. What was that about?
And he just kind of fell right in, and then the smoke monster popped right out. You know? It was like...
It could have been filled up with more water, though, because there were skulls already in there.
Yeah, there were bodies in there.
I have to say that I think that the water level was higher when the man in black was thrown in.
Well, there you go. So you've answered my one question.
I love that minute thing is the one question that you have, Dr. Rickman. That's fantastic.
Now I have total satisfaction.
What other stuff, like, because I'm interested. I like this back and forth with Lola.
I also did the angle where... Especially the Men in Black episode, because we did the spiritual angle, like, amongst my friends anyways, because we watched it every Tuesday, obviously, and we thought, oh, he's Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the obvious, and then Jacob and Esau, and all these different special aspects of it, which I kind of wish that sometimes more they would have gone that way, but even still, they did that in this final episode with the whole... the ending with Christian Shepherd and, you know, the light and all the symbolism. And I really like the ending, the actual end part of it. In fact, the whole episode was awesome. If it wasn't the finale, maybe, if that makes sense.
Yeah, if there were more answers to be made.
Yeah. And I loved all the found loves and the connections. And that was, you know, and I cried, and Johnny can tell you that I cried, 'cause I did. And, but I just wish, again, and I hate to repeat myself, that maybe there was more as to why Jacob, you know, the whole Men in Black and Jacob thing, and even that episode with Jacob and Men in Black kind of fell flat. I just felt like they kind of threw it together.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people, that was a really divisive episode, and, like, I hated it when I saw it. I was like, this is... I can't believe that they did this so late in the series, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, right after in that episode, they reference, you know, line for line, you know, now you're like me, and these kinds of repeating. And, like, that episode works really well as a setup for the next one, but it doesn't necessarily hold up as an episode on its own.
Yeah.
That being said, you know, something like that Lola was bringing up earlier about, you know, wishing that just the entire... structure of the Man in Black and Jacob was more heavily explained goes back to something that Mazur was saying earlier, where and Dr. Venkman as well, where, like, the mythology of Lost could literally just go on forever, and, like, I think that they address that specifically in that episode by having the mother be this character.
And that's
that,
true. Maybe I'm just totally unsatisfied with that episode, and this is why.
That it was a weird episode, and it was the oddest structure out of all of it.
It was, and maybe, I don't know, that's why I'm not content with this finale.
I think we didn't need as much explanation for Jacob and the Man in Black as maybe you would have liked, because you talked about Cain and Abel and Jacob and Esau, and it's a really, like, archetypal structure of, you know, the brothers who come from, who are, like, complete opposites and oppose each other and kind of destroy each other in a way.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been more interesting if we had seen them battling over people over time. And seeing different things like that, as opposed to this pretty linear, pretty just cut-through story. Yeah.
Well, the reason I think that all of those questions aren't answered is because the group of castaways that we've kind of spent these 6 years with is only one set of the people that have been brought to this island over however many hundreds of thousands of years or whatever. Like, we saw in, I believe, the season 5 finale, when the Black Rock is off in the distance and Jacob and the Man in Black are talking, and they keep saying, you know, back and forth, like, you keep bringing people here, the same thing happens every time. They always, you know, kind of battle it out and kill themselves, and, like, nobody ever can actually accomplish whatever goal that Jacob has set for them to accomplish. Jacob keeps bringing people to the island over and over again, different groups and stuff. We just happen to see, over the course of our 6 years, the one group that actually did make it, you know, like, that did kind of accomplish Jacob's goal, which is to be somebody to take over for him. So I think that, you know, I think that other these little questions here and there that were left unanswered might have been answered in another group's story, you know, like, that was brought to the island either before or after. And
you know, we're gonna have like Lost 1812.
Yeah, I don't know. Like who in the Dharma
Lost,
found the island?
The Egyptian
first?
Era.
Like who? Were the others are tons of questions.
Yeah,
others and blah, blah,
blah.
Yeah,
yeah. The others and yeah. There's
well,
so many.
Yeah, the show definitely left. I obviously didn't answer all of our questions. You know, and they left it open for whatever, for speculation, to let our imaginations do the yeah. talking. I guess we could make up whatever we want and we don't have a wrong answer.
Maybe,
you know what I mean?
Maybe we'll get the BSG Caprica thing going. So, you know, you get the BSG to end, but then we get Caprica. So it's going to be now Lost before, you know, before Jacob.
Before they were lost.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No, hopefully not. But, you know, can we talk about the sideways a little at the end?
Let's do it.
Because I think what's interesting is that Claire has a baby, you know?
Yeah.
But I found that in the church she wasn't holding the baby. And then I guess Christian Shepherd said that he didn't actually have a son either. Is that right? Or
yep.
Or
so
is it
Jack
or is
never,
it,
had,
Jack
a son.
Jack
yeah.
never
yeah.
had a son,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So is it just these are modes to reach to get to the chapel in order
yeah.
to get
I
there?
Think so.
Yeah.
Right.
So
and
there's
nothing
yeah.
as time is not relevant.
Yeah.
Aaron probably would be an adult if he
well,
showed up.
They showed
yeah.
they did show Aaron. They showed Claire holding
they
holding
oh, they did.
Yeah. And like
yeah,
Charlotte
Aaron
like
was
in,
there.
It was in the yeah, it was in the very like the slow motion montage.
Oh, yeah.
The
and that was and that was one of those other little thoughts I had is like, well, why isn't Aaron older?
Yeah.
But then you but then really
well,
would you
why is son pregnant?
But she's not. It's all a mode. It's
yeah.
It's trying to get you there.
Mm-hmm. It's like
where
when
you
Boone
need to be.
And Hurley set up Shannon. Remember when he said,
"Yeah,
yeah."
Man, it took me.
Yeah,
it
was a
it
pain
was
to get her
it was
to
a pain
LA
to get her
or something. Yeah.
From Australia.
Why was Saeed with Shannon instead of Nadia?
Because that's who she was.
That's who they met.
To.
On,
they were supposed
the,
to be
they
together.
They hooked up on the island, and that
yeah,
that
the
island was real.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's where the good hookups happened.
What?
So.
You know,
yeah, that one, I still have a little bit of trouble digesting. Not that it wasn't good to see Shannon again, because I, you know, I was one of those people that in like season one or whatever just kind of didn't like her very much.
Wasn't she like always
she
whining?
Was kind of annoying, yeah.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I did buy in her kind of arc was her relationship with Saeed. So just on a, you know, we've all talked about how just like emotionally satisfying this episode has been, and it's very like especially with. The kind of flash triggers, you know, of like the memories
yeah.
and stuff of that. Like
cool.
they picked out the
yeah.
great moments and stuff to really like drive up those emotions for everybody.
For us to remember.
Yeah.
yeah.
I liked it. Juliet and Sawyer.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
was
yeah.
great.
Fantastic.
That was one of the best parts.
You know.
Yeah. So
the kiss me, you know.
Yeah,
you got a
Blondie.
I'm
yeah.
like, yes, Blondie, yes. Oh, she's back. I love her.
Yeah. That was cool.
Lola doesn't like her though.
No, I don't like Juliet. I kind of wish they would have brought Walt too into the mix, you know, just because.
Yeah, throw it in.
And Michael, just you know, put
well,
him
no,
in the
Michael,
church.
Michael
was
island.
In hell, so
yeah, he's walking
he's,
the island.
He's
a whispering voice.
Yeah.
Maybe Walt and Vincent just kind of throw him in the church, just because.
You were talking about something about the structure. You didn't necessarily think that the Flash sideways worked as a narrative structure for the
well,
season.
Well, I just
right?
think that I think that. There was so much speculation about what this Flash sideways was, and in the end, it really kind of wasn't real. I mean, it worked, served a purpose to get them to the church, but it didn't... The whole season, everyone was talking about, like, okay, how's it going to connect? There's reflections. Everybody in their Flash sideways looks in the mirror, and so somehow the reflection, that's going to, like, connect with the other timeline... And I even saw a thing with Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse where they said that the only thing they felt they had to explain by the end of the season was how the two timelines fit together.
Mm-hmm.
And they really kind of didn't because the Flash sideways, it exists outside of time.
It's
this afterlife and it doesn't fit together at all. And really, like, the fact that it was Kimi who was the gangster and, oh my gosh, and look, it was the Russian guy who nobody could ever kill. Like, none of that really mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just feel like that part of the season was kind of a waste. It was kind of fun, but it was kind of ultimately...
Well, we got
months.
To play out the what if.
Yeah.
Which is what we were saying. It's like, oh, yeah, because he did this,
except
this.
Not really.
Well, it was a callback to season one. It was, like, being able to kind of meet these characters all over again and, like, see... see, yeah, exactly, like what would have happened or kind of...
without Jacob in their lives to influence them to like do this or that.
You know, how things would have played out and how they ultimately would have kind of come together regardless. But yeah, I see what you're saying, where like, yeah, that wouldn't have happened because, it, you know, they were dead.
Yeah, because it wasn't like an alternate reality, an alternate, like, universe in the multiverse or whatever.
Yeah.
It was just... they're dead, and this is something they've created. And, like, how do they create that?
I don't know.
But
I think...
I don't care. It's emotionally resonant. I liked it at the end. I just think that...
An interesting thing that I read today, which I didn't think about, and tell me what you guys think about this, was that Hurley and Ben created the Flash sideways as a way for everybody to get together after Hurley and Ben were kind of like
that is
leading,
excellent speculation
leading like the
that.
Island, you know.
I like that.
The only thing that I don't and it does make you happy.
I like the idea of their team,
right?
I want the like Hurley and Ben spinoff. Yeah. I do. I want to know how long they were on the island.
Hurley
like
and,
how Hurley changed the rules. Who he brought there? If he brought any, but like I want to see Hurley. Yes.
Did he get Ben to start calling people dude?
All these questions.
Speaking of which, I think that the scene with Ben and Locke at the end, with Ben all the scenes with Ben sitting outside the church, I thought were fantastic.
Yeah.
And again, just a testament to how great Michael Emerson was.
Yeah. I mean, for people who don't believe us about kind of our assertion about what the ending actually means, you can just go back and look at that scene, and I think the proof is right there.
Oh, it says it all.
In their conversation where even then at the church, Hurley comes out and says to Ben, you know, hey dude, you're a great number two, and he says that you were a great number one. Like, were. Like,
yeah,
they
were.
Exactly.
Implying
it's done.
That, yeah, like, they've lived however many years doing their thing on the island, and that relationship has already kind of transpired. And you know, couple that with what Christian said about there is no now here. Like, this whole thing is just a construct for us to kind of get together before everybody moves on. So I think that read of the end of the show is kind of unarguable.
I agree.
Based on that.
They're trying to tell us to move on. Is that what...
Let it go.
Let it go.
Laser. I think Damon's last tweet was something to that effect. I think if you guys read that, it was just let go, kind of just remember it and let go.
Exactly. I think that was good. Desmond, now though, I enjoyed that part where he moves the rock and he says it didn't work. You know, I thought I'd be somewhere else, and I love that because he's like, it answered it. You're like, okay, now you know that it's not a sideways like reality, because when he does that first flash in the magnetic thing in his episode, automatically you say, oh, he's living both lives at the same time.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Everyone I was watching with thought that. And then as soon as he pulled that thing and said
it didn't work,
I was like, oh, what's going on now? I mean, it means that there's
it
something
else. It means
that
the sideways isn't
real. Yeah, sideways is something else, you know, and not what he was seeing in the magnetic pulse originally.
Yeah.
So that was just an interesting little thing.
One thing I was kind of disappointed of was that we didn't get a rendition of You All, Everybody at the concert.
I am very glad.
You're glad that we didn't hear it?
I'm glad that we did
Sick
not.
Of it
it's
already
the worst song ever.
Let's drive.
They must not have had a very good budget to hire a songwriter for that one. So I wanted to just talk about the fight on the cliff.
Yes.
And when I just loved it when Jack just like jumped at Locke when he pulled the knife out, and they were like,
and
it
cuts
going
to black.
For it.
That's like the greatest
cuts
to black
ever.
Yeah,
you
ever.
Can see that punch. I mean, you know that. You know, I'm lifting my arm, by the way, right now.
Yeah, you guys can't see it, Johnny Washington.
Yeah, but there it is. You know, and then all of a sudden it cuts and it's a wide shot and it's like, where did his knife go? I mean, how did he get the knife out? The guy had a knife and he come down with a fist.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
The editing was a little weird there.
Yeah, when you jump in the cut, it basically, his punch turned into, like,
a tackle, a
2-foot, like, kick.
Yeah.
I thought, because it was raining, I was like, ooh, wow, that's, like, kind of like a Matrix moment.
I thought
just
the
he
same
just leaked
exact
out like
thing.
That.
I was like, this is very
Matrix Revolution.
Matrix Revolution
as well, just later on, I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
Now, this may not have been, I'm nitpicking at this point. Didn't part of the cliff, like,
drop
down,
yeah.
And then like they cut back and nothing,
and the ladder is still
and
there.
And it was still there.
Yeah, maybe
so
it was just
a
different.
Maybe
it was
the ladder part,
or maybe it just shifted.
There was part problems with like it was pouring rain and then it was dry. But I did have to say in that scene, I thought it was really great that after 6 seasons of being the constantly rescued damsel in distress, Kate killed Locke.
Yeah. There's been a lot of talk over the past couple weeks about how all the women on Lost have been relegated to, like, crazy mother archetypes or just lovers, and that's it, and, like, haven't done anything.
Yes.
And I very much appreciate
the writers have issues.
I appreciated the fact that Kate was the one who saved the day, like, saved Jack, because he, at that point, I think he was, like, you know, he was kind of mortal, I guess, at that point. Like, he could have been killed.
Everyone was mortal at that point,
And she busted it out, and... I mean, her one-liner might have been a little bit better.
saved a bullet for you.
But yeah, maybe. that was cool that she did that, yeah.
Yeah, that cliff dive, by the way. Were you worried that they were going to hit the rocks? Because
I was so sad. That she's like, see you later, and just freaking went for it. I was like, holy crap.
I saw Sawyer go face first. I was like, ouch.
Yeah, he's going to hit those rocks.
He actually said that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that stung.
Yeah. One thing I had a question about was... Jack, Locke cuts his neck, and then in the sideways, he's bleeding. What was up with that?
Remind him. I was watching Carlton Cuse and Lindelof. They were talking about it after. He says, it's to give the only hint that it's after. You know, that's what it is. And they were talking about it because they said it keeps coming up. He keeps seeing the blood in different episodes. But it was to allow us as an audience just a tiny little... you know, Easter egg to figure out.
Oh, yeah, there is a moment in an earlier episode.
I think in the premiere, yeah.
Also when the son's eating breakfast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's just those little things. And so they were doing it so that we would know that it's not actually happening at that
point. Yeah, and there was a point, too, where I think earlier Jack was talking to his mother, I think, in one of the episodes, and he, like, pulls up his shirt and sees a scar on him and says something about, like, did I get my appendix taken out? And at the time, I was like, oh, crap, I didn't remember that Juliet actually performed, like, an appendectomy on him on the island. But now I think that was actually a scar from when Locke stabbed him.
Ooh,
yeah.
You know, look at that. Good find.
Yeah.
Paying attention to the details.
that was the thing. That was after all was said and done. I was like, what is the deal with that neck bleeding thing? Like, that took me the longest to kind of wrap my head around. But
yeah, I think
now let me ask you this: what's Richard going to do off the island?
live a normal life, dude. He's got the gray hair now.
I was like, when it showed the plane taking off and everybody was gripping, I was like, oh my gosh, that's probably Richard's first flight. But then I remembered he went off the island all the time.
Yeah.
He went to see, he visited Locke a bunch of times. Juliet. So
he's
I think it'll be less of a like culture shock
experience.
Thing for him.
That's very
good. He's going to be okay, man.
Yeah. he'll be all right.
He'll get married.
I was worried. I was worried there for a minute.
My biggest question for one of the things is Hurley apparently is the same as Jack at a point, the same as Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
But all Jack did was fill up a water bottle with water and said, drink this. You know, he's like,
he didn't even bless it like
Jacob. He didn't bless it like Jacob did.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering,
like the mother
maybe
does.
Jack was like, all I got to do is give it to him, you know? And I'm like, what is this about?
So, well, I think that's the same thing where Ben says, hey, Jacob did it one way, maybe you can do it another way, that kind of thing. So maybe Jack's way was, hey, he doesn't have to say anything.
I think it's more the act of like the, like, here, you're drinking this, this is going to change you, and then the, like, holding the shoulder.
Yeah.
And saying,
it's a very Matrix
now you're
type
like
of
me.
Thing. Like, take the pill.
The right of
and it doesn't really make you immortal. It just makes you, like, live until somebody kills you, right?
Yeah, that's what
someone,
it seems like.
Someone kills you.
Yeah. It's just, like, accepting the job.
Yeah.
With the exception of the man in black
and
Jacob.
And the brothers,
who,
because they can't kill each other.
They can't kill each other.
Yeah.
Why?
But I think that was just
and
a...
Richard can't die at one point either,
they're
right?
Crazy at foster mother.
Oh, yeah.
Richard.
Richard.
Oh, and then the Richard thing, that's my other question. When Miles finds a way, what does that mean? Like,
he's aging now.
Yeah,
because
the plug was pulled out. Yeah.
Oh, another cork was pulled, I just remembered. Remember when Ben summons the smoke monster? He pulls out the cork from
that's
the thing.
True.
Just saying, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There's lots of corks.
There's corks all over the
island.
Cork imagery. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. All in all, I really enjoyed how it all came together. I mean, I think throughout the six seasons that we've gone through, that we've lived through with these characters, each season always answered a question with another question. You know, the show was very consistent in doing that. And, you know, even in the finale, the whole thing came together and it answered a question with another question. But I think at least for all of the characters, everything was wrapped up.
Yeah, I agree.
Necessarily
I think...
not for the island. You know, there's still tons of questions about the island, but everything with the characters, I believe, was wrapped up.
I think my response to Mealy Kane's assertion about the Flash sideways not really working that well as a narrative structure, I think my response would just be kind of echoing what you just said, Dr. Brinkman, that each season kind of presents something at the end where you kind of look back on what you've just seen in a different context. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking specifically, like, the biggest one was when you realize that John Locke wasn't actually John Locke for the entire season 5. Like, he was the smoke monster. That was the big reveal of last season, you know? So I think this is just it's another one of those reveals that when you go back and look at the season again, knowing what we know now, you're just going to look at it in an entirely different light. And I think that's what the show does well, and I think it does that with service to the characters as opposed to doing it at the characters' expense.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I think that about covers it, unless anybody has anything else. I think that'll kind of wrap up our Lost discussion for the time being. I'm sure we'll get around to discussing it again some point in the future on this podcast, maybe when they do
Lost 7.0.
Is there like a Lost encyclopedia that has like been officially released?
There's a Lostopedia.
Yeah, Lostopedia by the fans.
I think there has been one, and I was like, how on earth can they get everything on Lostpedia in this physical book, this encyclopedia, without it being, you know, thousands of pages long?
I'm just thinking
it's
like
online.
It's online?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Boom.
So if I have questions about Lost.
Oh, yeah. Go to Lostpedia. Definitely. That's how I think. All right. So that's going to bring our Lost discussion to a close. Coming up this week in theaters, we've got Sex and the City 2, which I believe comes out on Thursday.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that movie.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yep.
It's going to be amazing.
Yes.
I just remember the first one. Women were wearing gowns to the opening of this film. Will they wear gowns again? That's the question.
You mean just here local?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be seeing it, but I will not be wearing a gown. I will be wearing probably jeans.
Heels?
And Tom's shoes. So.
Nice. Also coming out this weekend, we've got Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, the... Jake Gyllenhaal starred.
I will not be seeing that one because I don't like institutionalized racism, and I think it's really gross.
And Saeed should have played him.
They're Persian actors.
Yeah,
they're actual
really
Persian
are.
Actors, and I think it's gross how we like paint white people darker colors
so
they can play minority characters.
Jake Gyllenhaal isn't Persian?
He's not, actually. He just has a really dark spray tan.
I know Gyllenhaal is traditionally a Persian last name, but...
And that Jerry Bruckheimer is killing it, though, right? I mean, he's got the Sorcerer's Apprentice, and he's got Prince of Persia now, so, I mean...
I know,
both
and,
of
like,
those starring Alfred Molina, who's actually a good
actor.
I don't know why he's doing those movies.
I don't know. What's Jerry Bruckheimer thinking?
G-Force, so you can't
there...
G-Force, you're right. What am I thinking?
Did Jerry Bruckheimer actually cast actual wizards in this, or... Did they cast non-sorcerers?
I believe I read
it's a union thing. So the sorcerers, they've got it. I think what it's
now. I heard Nicolas Cage was actually a sorcerer.
You know what? I honestly wouldn't be surprised.
If he was a sorcerer, he could conjure up some more money, so he wouldn't be so broke and having to sell all his castles
and Jurassic Park skulls or whatever the hell.
Yeah, and his Elvis memorabilia.
Oh, we shouldn't laugh at Nick Cage's a bad fortune.
We should.
Just his
acting. He's made terrible decisions.
Yeah.
Oh, man, am I the only one who likes Nicolas Cage?
I don't like
he still
him.
Makes
terrible.
More money than we all do.
Yeah, that's
I know,
true, Dr.
But
Brandon.
He buys 15 German castles.
All right, I'm sure
although
we'll...
I liked him in Kick-Ass.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He was awesome in Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe one of us will actually see Sorcerer's
Playing
Apprentice when that comes out eventually.
I'm going to see it, I'll be honest.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go see it.
I'm interested.
Yeah. I like the soundtrack. The soundtrack was
I'm
going to
watch it because my wife is going to watch Sex and the City, and then I'm going to watch Prince of Persia at the same time, so that's how that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, because she wants to see I mean...
Good stuff. All right, well, that's going to bring episode number 73 to an end. Feel free to check out, we've got a new thing going on at GeekTyrant.com. It's called Blog Within a Blog. It's kind of a cool thing that we've set up where it's essentially a blog about us, blogging. Just kind of a little bit of an insight into kind of our personal lives, what we think, if there's you know, cool stuff that we don't necessarily think should go on the Geek Tyrant main page, we'll throw it in there.
I just want to talk about my most recent post on blog within a blog.
Go for it.
Wait, you write on there? I thought it was just Bankman.
It's everybody. No, it's,
everybody can write on there. Yeah.
It. You just have to just let us know. But I went through and I tabulated everyone's posts, and mine are quite weak. But Bankman,
I saw this. I know what you're talking
about. Who humbly has posted in the last 2 years over 5,400 posts in 2 years. I can't even do the math on... I don't want to do the math on what that is daily. But that is a ridiculous amount of posts. And I started out my little spiel as, I don't think any blogger, not just movie, just blogger, period, has done more posts than Dr. Venkman in the last 2 years of Geek Tyrant.
Well done, sir. Yeah. Slow clap. Yes.
Guys, I'm not bragging. Mazer was bragging for me.
Yeah.
He's doing it for me. It's
well deserved, sir.
I was updating the roster, and I was like, maybe I was going to put post counts, but I was like, yeah, I'll just do this post.
Yeah. That's pretty impressive, dude. But, so check out Blog Within a Blog. We've also got a donate thing that we've got set up there where you can set up like a $2 a month donation for us. If you like what we do, if you like listening to the podcast, if you like reading the site, help us out if you can. We need your support. This is a volunteer-run site, so we're not getting paid for doing this stuff. And it'll help us, you know, we need your support to help keep going as long as we can. So you can also feel free to subscribe to us on iTunes, fan us on Facebook, or like us on Facebook, whatever the terminology
is nowadays.
I miss the fanning.
Find us at facebook.com/geektyrantfans, and of course follow us on Twitter at geektyrant. So that's going to be it. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys, and thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
Goodbye.